Jesus was living a fairly quiet life, I suppose, unassuming, as a carpenter in the city of Nazareth in Galilee. And he walked about 70, 80 miles, I'm told, to get to the Jordan River where his cousin John the Baptist was baptizing. Now, after we have a baptism, most places I've been, we've had a song afterwards. People would greet the person who had been baptized afterwards and, you know, congratulate them. But what happened after Jesus' baptism was a greater event, at least happening. What happened anyway? Because the heavens were opened unto him, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 3. He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, lighting upon him. So he saw all this magnificence of God. All heaven was approving, and then he heard the voice of God, the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I don't know how many people had remained there. I imagine a number were there to be baptized with John. But I don't know how many remained for this occasion. How many saw what he saw or heard what he heard. Truly these happenings were the greatest or among the greatest happenings of his life thus far. After living that quiet life in Nazareth. But this was one of the highest points of his life, I guess we would say, to this juncture in his life. Heavens open. Assistance of the Holy Spirit was his. God the Father claiming him as his Son. This was the start of his ministry. This was the beginning of great things. This was the beginning of many things for Jesus in the days, weeks, 3 years or so to come. And then, was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. Matthew 4 verse 1 and follow. When he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, he was after the hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, number one, "Thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Number two, the devil takes him up to a holy city and set him on a pinnacle in the temple up there at the top. Saith unto him, "Thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written," Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Number three. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Said unto them, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Some of the things we want to note as we look at these verses and as we think of other verses in God's Word. We want to look at this passage and learn two things, at least two helpful lessons, or foundation lessons, points. Christ was tempted by the devil. You might say, well, that's obvious. Well, there are some people that don't think it. Some people think, well, he's a son of God, he can't be tempted. He was tempted of the devil. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Scripture says it. I believe it. Christ was tempted of the devil. We can be tempted of the devil. That's another fact we learn from the Bible, don't we? We learn from everyday life. And for those two lessons, we need to think about two other things. Number one, Christ was tempted but did not sin. Christ was tempted but did not sin. Number two, Christ is our example in our overcoming temptation. Let's read these scriptures, three scriptures from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 2:18. You can write those down, or if you've got a fast flipper, you can get there. But if I pause long enough for everybody to get there, then we'll be here till 11:30. Anybody want me to pause long enough for everybody to get there? Okay. Don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Hebrews 2:18. He himself hath suffered being tempted. He himself has suffered being tempted. So not only did Matthew say it, but the Hebrew writer says it. He was tempted of the devil. Hebrews 4:15. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Hebrews 2:18. Another thing we learn in Hebrews, among many things. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succor or help them, the Revised Standard Version says. He's able to help them that are tempted. Note that temptation came to Jesus at a high point in his life, immediately after his baptism, immediately after the heavens opened, immediately after the Holy Spirit came down and enlightened upon him, immediately after God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Satan tempts him in the wilderness. Someone has said this concerning temptation. Temptation is not so much an opportunity to sin as it is an opportunity to keep from sinning. Temptation is not so much an opportunity to sin as it is an opportunity to keep from sinning. Well, how did Satan go about tempting Jesus? What wiles of his, what deceptive measures, what did he do to try to tempt this man who just been called the Son of God by the Father from heaven? He appealed to his supposed weakness, first of all, didn't he? Anybody here believes Jesus wasn't hungry? Remember the last time you went 40 days and 40 nights without eating? I don't either. I don't either. I mean, you miss a meal, you know. What was I talking to somebody? Oh, I think it was one of my grandkids. And I said, you know, we may not get to be able to have time to get lunch today. She said, well, I remember one time when I didn't eat lunch. Jesus could remember a whole bunch of times when he didn't eat lunch right during that period of time. 40 times. So there's nothing to dispute the fact that he was hungry. He was hungry. Satan knew he was hungry, and he was counting on the fact that he was hungry. Matthew 4 and 12. Command that these stones be made bread. We've been there. Our mouth would have been watering and thinking, you know, do I really have that power? I don't know what powers Jesus had before the Holy Spirit came on that occasion. Did he have all those powers before? It doesn't matter, because we know he had those powers now because of what he did. Command that these stones be made bread. Surely an easy task for one whose mother later will say, son, we're at this marriage feast and they run out of wine. They run out of good wine. So you think you can handle that? I mean, he created everything in the beginning. I guess he could handle a little wine. He changed the water to wine. Andrew tells him, well, I found a boy that's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, that'll do. There's not just 5,000 men out there, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 people or so. That'll do. We'll just divide it up, and we might even have leftovers for tomorrow. And that's not verbatim from the Bible, by the way. So Jesus wanted and needed bread. This was a severe test. You know, we can't get around that. Satan attacks us today, too, where we're weak, where we've got our problem. As the Hebrew writer says, that besetting sin, or that sin that so easily besets us, to the Hebrew brethren, according to the Hebrew writer, that was a lack of faith on their part. Unfaithfulness, or near unfaithfulness. Sliding, slipping away. Number two, how did Satan tempt Christ? How did he go about tempting him? He sought to plant doubt and suspicion, didn't he? Verse 3. Chapter 4, Matthew. If thou be the Son of God. That, maybe you see doubt there, maybe not. If thou be the Son of God, if you are who you are, if you are who the voice from heaven just said you are, surely there'd be nothing wrong in taking care of a physical need that you have right now. Satan tempts us today by trying to raise doubts too, doesn't he? Or can you really live the life of a Christian? You know, it's going to be pretty hard. It's going to be pretty hard at times. There's going to be people that's going to come around that's going to try to lead you back in the old ways. Could be people from your neighborhood. Could be people from your past. Could be people from your own family. Especially back then it would. Because you know, they were becoming Christians. You know, the whole family didn't become a Christian at the same time. A lot of pressure. We talk about kids having peer pressure. These adults had peer pressure too. We adults have peer pressure. It's not only the kids that are on adults around here that makes marijuana and all that other stuff sell on the underground black market or whatever, being trucked up here by the tons from down in Mexico. Even being grown out here in Tennessee. Methamphetamines are made. We're just about the methamphetamine capital of the United States, Tennessee. And California, I think, is in there with us. Sometimes we might doubt the authority of God. You know, all these churches can't be wrong. I know Christ said he just built one, but you know, that's a good one. Christ said he just built one. He said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. You mean those Buddhists, those Muslims, Let God deal with that, but that's what I've got to preach the word. I've got to teach the word. I've got to preach the gospel as it says and teach it like it says, and people need to obey it like it says. And then they'll be saved like it says. He tempted Jesus by appearing to be a benefactor, appearing to be a helper. He offered bread when Jesus was hungry. Surely nothing wrong with that. He needed bread, protection from danger, power over the whole world. Why not? I mean, God's timetable is going to, you know, a little bit shorter. I mean, a little bit, it's going to take a lot of time. Let's put it that way. Satan has got, he can give to right now. I have what I want right now. Pleasures of sin for a season, for all seasons. You know, you find pleasures of sin for all seasons in Nashville. Nash Vegas. What did Satan do when he tempted Eve in the garden? Well, he was deceptive, wasn't he? Everything he said was said as a charmer. Someone who'll make things better for Eve. You know, you're going to be wiser. Boy, you know, you've been eating all that other fruit. Kind of gets old, don't it? Pardon the English. Kind of gets old. What? Look how delicious that fruit looks. But God said, don't partake that. He knows you'll be wise as a God. I'm helping you out, yeah. Like Internal Revenue Service. Come down to the place and we'll help you out. And they do help some. I worked for them for a while, and there was a period of time that we helped during the tax season. You shall not surely die, but it was a lie. With Satan's help, Adam and Eve got driven out of the only home they ever knew. I don't know where they lived, in caves next or where. That maybe was likely the first place they would live until they, you know, got their contractor's license or whatever it took to learn how to build. Peter warns us in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, make no doubt about it either, we have an adversary out there, the devil, as a roaring lion, Peter says, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he doesn't look like a lion, and he doesn't look like that red thing with all the pointed ears and the long red tail. Might be your next door neighbor, his actions. How did Satan tempt Christ? By being persistent. That's how grandkids are, aren't they? Those you've got grandkids. You tell them no. Is that the last time you're going to hear from them? But I need this. No, you don't really need that. Or even your kids. You don't need that. But, and before long, persistence wins out. First temptation, Satan sought to get Jesus to distrust God. God's not providing for you. You're out here in this wilderness. You haven't had anything to eat. What are you going to do? Does God really care for you? Maybe Satan prints that. Plants that in our mind. Persistence. Can you turn these stones to bread? He tells Jesus, don't have so much confidence in God that God's going to help you. Going to help you. Or be overconfident in God. Jump off that building. Serve and worship me. Just totally abandon God. I mean, he just kept coming. I don't think there's any... There's a lot of times where things are presented in threes or in twelves or in forties or in sevens in the Bible, and I don't think there's any magic thing about the number three. We won't be necessarily tempted three times in a row or three different manners by Satan, but we got to watch. But he quoted scripture too, didn't he? Satan quoted scripture. Boy, that can really fool you when somebody starts quoting scripture. This fellow sounds like he knows what he's doing. Satan knew and quoted scripture, Matthew 4:6. He quoted from Psalm 91:11-12. James says in 2:19, you got to watch out for those devils. The devils also believe and tremble. He was discussing faith and works. They shudder. Satan misapplies scripture though, doesn't he? He uses it to his own device and to his own purpose, to his own end. Maybe doing the same thing with you and me. Maybe doing the same thing to you and me. All right, now, Satan has appeared on the scene in the wilderness. He tempted Jesus, but there's another side to that story, isn't it? How did Jesus react? You see, because that's going to help us. It helps us to know how Satan tempts, but it also helps us to know how Jesus reacted to it. Because you see, Jesus is supposed to be my example. I'm supposed to follow in his steps. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And Peter said that Jesus is our example, that we should follow in his steps. How did Christ meet and conquer these temptations that Satan presented? Number one, he answered Satan by quoting scriptures. By quoting scriptures. What does that tell you and me about knowledge of the Bible? You say, well, I don't know very much Bible. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And if I was talking like one I heard, you're in a heap of trouble. I'm in a heap of trouble. Now, it's not good enough just to be able to quote scriptures, because anybody can mouth them. We must be able to apply them. Jesus brought up a scripture, but it wasn't just a scripture. It was what was needed at the time. And he didn't look up his index. Say, hold on just a minute there, Satan. I know there's one. Let me look in concordance. It was inside. It was available. Three different times Christ was confronted. And he was able to counteract Satan's attack with, it is written, verse 4, verse 7, verse 10. Thou shalt not live by bread alone. That's a good scripture to know, isn't it? Thou shalt not live by bread alone. I mean, the principle is there to help us in many different situations we would find ourselves. Thou shalt not live by brand new cars alone. Thou shalt not live by a brand new house alone. Thou shalt not live by working alone. Thou shalt not live by going visiting on Sunday. By having 10 folks over on Sunday dinner, staying home. Thou shalt not live by bread alone. Thou shalt not live by putting other things before that which is yours to do, before your God. You see, there's nothing wrong with Jesus eating bread except for who offered it to him. It was wrong because of the circumstance. If God said, turn these stones to bread, and he turned them to bread and could have eaten them. The source. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Go ahead and jump off that. He'll have angels save you. No, thou shalt not tempt God. Don't put God to test. And don't worship anything or anyone other than God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. not just for a few minutes. The type worship we do is not for just a few minutes. Jesus is not at a public service of the church here. He's out in the wilderness and nobody else is there. That's when we got to be sure we're serving God. That's when Satan will get us. When we're here in the building, he may not be present, although he could be. But see, we're on our best behavior right now. We today can answer Satan's attack by knowing and being able to call to mind the Word of God. Am I able to? Are you able to? You say, I don't have too much education. Hell, most of you helped in a job, enough education to do that. Most of us have enough education to read the Bible. Bible! I don't know what the exact nature of the study, but the study done by someone said, you know, most of the words in the Bible don't have a whole lot of syllables in them. They're not big old long words. This book can keep you from sin, or sin can keep you from this book, someone said. This book can keep you from sin, or sin can keep you from the book. That's my choice, isn't it? That's your choice. We should have God's Word in our heart, in our minds. The Bible's not just a book to be carried around. It's a book to be read. It's a book to be understood. It's a book to be lived. It is no longer I that liveth, Paul would say, but Christ liveth in me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Psalmist said that the Word was that upon which we should be able to meditate day and night. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, he speaks of the blessed man. The blessed man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Think about it. Think about it. What do you think about when you don't have anything else to think about? You say, I got a lot of free time on my hands. What have you been reading? Read any good books lately? Psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I like that verse from Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And Jesus said, it is written. It's there. It is written. I know that it's written. I've got a verse. God said. He resisted temptation. He resisted Satan, didn't he? Get thee hence. Get on out of this place, Satan. To resist is to stand firm against, for Divine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament words. Nay, the book's longer than the definition. To resist is to stand firm against. Do you stand up? Somebody said if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Good old country song, probably somebody else said it, and that Bible says that too. You don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We've got to stand up and be counted for God. Christ refused to consider what Satan said, much less yield to his biddings. We too must resist the devil. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil. 1 Peter 5:8-9, Peter would speak of Satan as the devil that roars around like a lion. And then he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We've got to increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The knowledge of the Word of God. It is important. If you were not in Bible class this morning and were physically able to be here, talk to God about it. Talk to God about it, because Satan is going to be talking to you unless you're studying your Bible an awful lot at home. Satan is going to get his foot in a door, and all he needs is a little crack in your spiritual armor. He puts Satan to flight. Matthew 4:11 says, "Then the devil leaveth him." You say, "Well, boy, that's good. Just try me a time or two and he's going to leave." Luke 4:13. "Then the devil leaveth him for a season." For a season. He didn't leave. He just left for the time being. We don't know how many other times that he tempted Jesus, but he was tempted in all things like as we are. So there had to be other times. Peter would add in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant." Because you see, the one that's out there is your adversary. An adversary is against us, right? The adversary is our enemy. James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." He'll move on to greener pastures, see? And don't allow that pasture to get greener for him in your home, in your heart. "He was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. By his example, we learn how to meet and conquer temptation, because we see that he met and conquered temptation." Oh, we won't conquer every temptation that comes along. But he resisted Satan. He put Satan to flight. When we're weak, we're vulnerable. When we're strong, we're vulnerable. And remember, Satan may appear as a helper. Bible says as an angel of light. But being persistent, we can resist. By ever praying to God, we can resist. By placing God's word first in our hearts and in our lives and deep in our hearts, we build up resistance. We exercise ourselves to discern good from evil, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 5. Remember also God's promise and God's presence, and that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. This is the Revised Standard Version. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Jesus was tempted again and again and again. But he faced that temptation and he conquered that temptation with Satan. We need to use his example. He was talking this morning about that phrase, "Let this mind be in you." Philippians 2:5. The mind of Christ was an obedient mind, wasn't it? The mind of Christ was a mind that was humble. A mind that was compassionate, showed love for other people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was love that drove Christ to the cross and nailed him to the cross there for our sins. It was love that won out in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was fighting a battle there with Satan. "God's will be done," he said, "not mine." This morning, are you ready to let God's will be done in your life? Are you here without Christ? Are you here lost in sin? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why not come confessing that before this group this morning? Having that faith that will lead you to repent of your sins, to be baptized of Christ in obedience to God's will. I mean, when Christ was baptized, he didn't have any sins to be washed away. God was well pleased with what went on that occasion. He's well pleased when we're obedient to His will. Not obedient to my will or some church's will, but His will, His church's will. If you were a Christian here and need our prayers or wish to rededicate your life to Christ, why not do it this morning as we stand and sing?